Hey, listeners, welcome back to the Busby Bay podcast. This is Colin here, and I'm joined today by Nathan Heinchel. And we just finished a full slate of Boxing Day Premier League, including a 4-1 Manchester United win over Newcastle United at Old Trafford. Nathan, how you doing?
Doing much better after, the final 75 minutes of the United game and not like the first 15, 16 minutes.
Yeah. Safe to say another rough start after Matty Longstaff bagged only his second goal of the season, and both of them have come against us. It definitely seemed like we were in for another rough ride, but Manchester United responding really well. And even before that, in hindsight, it's fair to say that we were making chances, but they were really, I guess clinical is the word to use. They responded within 5 minutes and really just controlled the game from there.
Yeah, and it seemed like it, even leading up to that Longstaff goal, United had at least one chance that really stuck out to me. I thought Rashford took a pretty free kick right outside of the box that Pereira had earned after having some actually pretty decent hold-up play. And it looked like when they showed you the replay and there was the camera that was behind Rashford's back, it looked like the curve on the ball was just about right. It could have actually made the near post. Ended up clanging off the wall, but you know that one was at least a little bit. I think it was starting to get the juices flowing for Marcus because he can take those free kicks and hit them. And then, you know, Matty Longstaff scores, and all of a sudden I'm just sitting here going like, here we go again.
Yeah, we've had a kind of running joke since I guess Colchester that whenever I'm on duty for a game, if I have to turn it off, then United start playing well. But that wasn't the case today. It worked out pretty well. I got to watch the whole game. And Marcus Rashford really bouncing back after a really bad performance against Watford. Anthony Martial also played brilliantly today. But we kind of saw... what really stood out, for Anthony Martial has been his effort to get back and, you know, be part of the build-up play, which is something we've kind of not seen from him in the past. It's appeared lazy at times and kind of cut off from the rest of the match. But I thought both him and Rashford worked really well with the midfield today.
Yeah, and I think the motivation was there for Martial, and it needed to be there for everybody after what was honestly just a really pitiful performance against Watford. Mm-hmm. Martial almost gives me that vibe of a shooter in the NBA where he needs to see that first ball go in, and then all of a sudden he just starts heating up. And today really was a heat check for him. I mean, he scores two goals, and then he has a third clang off the inside of the post, and it goes out. And he almost had himself a hat trick. It was, I believe, his first brace at Old Trafford. So he was having a heck of a game, and I don't know what got up under him, but he looked really, really solid. And then Marcus Rashford, when Beans is on his stuff, there's not a defender that can defend him. He's too fast. He is too skilled with the ball. Every time we watch this game from Rashford, we're like, why don't you do this every weekend? And this was one of those weekends where we got him to do it. And, you know, it was really special to watch.
Yeah. And it just the difference in confidence between the two of them, because that shot that Anthony Martial took for the first goal is probably one that Dubravka could have saved or should have saved. A better goalkeeper almost certainly would have saved it. But we don't often, when they're off of it, they don't even take those shots. They turn their back to goal and they pass it again. And just the fact that they're so forward thinking now has to be at least 60% of the reason that both of them are off to such great starts in terms of goal scoring this season.
Yeah, and they always say in, you know, your top leagues, whatever sport it is, the margins for, you know, a player being open decrease. You know, whether it be basketball and, you know, what is an open shot for a three-pointer in basketball in the NBA versus, like, college basketball. I mean, that's about the most open that you can be for a shot with Luke Shaw coming in from the left wing, playing that ball off to Pereira, who immediately lays the ball up for Martial. I mean, it'd be one of those things where if you saw Martial pass that ball and not shoot it, at that point, like, Twitter gets set on fire. Because that's, like, the best – you know, goal scoring chance that you're going to get other than the one that he would later get when, you know, Longstaff just passes the ball to him. But it was one of those things where he saw the ball go in. And I know a lot of people on Twitter have been saying, like, it should have been saved, but they showed the one angle in the replay from behind inside the goal. And just knowing from my experience playing at admittedly really, really shitty in goal, I used to be a goalkeeper, he's already tracking to his left, and then he has to all of a sudden change his direction again. So he's not pushing off with his foot as well as he'd like to. And so, yeah, he gets his hand on it, but Martial hit the ball with some pace, and that's why I was able to ricochet off into the goal. So all in all, like, that play was just set up perfectly. That was one of those opportunities where the interplay was right, the pass was right, the shot was right, and I think that's what really just kicked everybody into gear when they saw Martial put that in, and that's, you know, when the avalanche started for Newcastle.
Yeah, and that's the sort of thing that we need to see more of from Manchester United, that because we're sloppy enough at defending that we're going to have plenty of games where we go a goal down, but the response today was ruthless. And we really, with a side this young and this hungry, we really need to see more of that. Maybe against Burnley we'll lose again 2-0, and then the next week we'll have a similar game like this. But this is the kind of bar we need to set going forward, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and that's one of those things where depth comes in a little bit too. We have certain positions where they're just sitting there going like, well, you know, I can have a bad game and I'm not going to lose my position. Just look at Luke Shaw. It's one of those things where as we continue to go through windows, if Ollie's going to be the guy and he continues to bring in those, you know, quote unquote United players, I think it's just going to all around bring out the best in them. Martial gets hurt. Rashford kind of had a little bit of a dip in form. Martial came back and it seemed like the offense was really going. And then Greenwood, who started to play meaningful minutes after having, you know, token minutes at the beginning of the season, I think he's provided a little bit of spark for Martial and Rashford as they're watching him play as well. Because the last thing you want to do is get shown up by an 18-year-old. And I mean, Greenwood's just been unbelievable. That was his fourth goal in five appearances. And then all of a sudden, you know, Martial's scoring a brace. Rashford's getting another one, making his 11th goal in 19 appearances in the Premier League. I think everybody's feeding off of each other. And that was kind of the main theme of my match report. And something that we wanted to talk about is just when the front three clicks, you know, we have a front three that should be rated as one of the tops in the league.
Yeah, we were talking about before we started recording this picture going around after Mason Greenwood scored that goal, the second goal, which was an absolute scorcher. I mean, maybe it took a bit of a deflection, but it was straight into the roof of the net. And it's Greenwood celebrating alongside Marcus Rashford and Anthony Martial. And that's just the dream for Manchester United fans right now. These two bright young academy graduates, and then, of course, Anthony Martial, who came in at a young age as well, 18. And the three of them thriving as a front three together, and we saw a glimpse of what that could be today.
Yeah, and it's just that trident of those three, and as they continue to play together, you've already seen when Martial came back from injury earlier on in the season, just the link-up play that him and Marcus are capable of putting together, because they've been playing together now for like 3-4 years. I mean, they've really got some chemistry going, and, you know, during the early Van Aal years the late Van Aal years, the early Rashford years, when he first started getting introduced to the squad, and he, you know, broke out and Martial had been playing so well. And then intermittently, when they would both at the same time click with some confidence under Mourinho, when Mourinho was trying to strip them of it, you know, they would look really good as well. And then, of course, they came roaring out of the gates under Solskjaer. They definitely, those two together are really, really strong. And they've got a great partnership. And then just the thought of Greenwood continuing to, you know, mature along with them. And the nice thing is none of them are particularly far off in age. If the three players are managed properly, if contracts are taken care of properly, nobody messes around. I mean, this is, you know, a potentially generational core of attacking talent, you know, that can, without getting too far ahead of anybody, This could be the future of United that they hang their hat on. You know, you could talk about this trident 5-6 years down the road when hopefully United are winning trophies again, you know, regularly. And then we haven't even talked about my son, Dan James, and, you know, the impact that he's made. hopefully the impact that Lingard can eventually, you know, make again. And then, of course, whenever we get Sancho and Erling Haaland, I mean, we could have a real treasure trove of attacking talent. And so today is one of those days where you get really excited when you see what you see.
Yeah, and Mason Greenwood, I think, deservedly, the way that he finishes, drawing a lot of comparisons to Robin van Persie. I think you said Robin van Greenwood today in the group me or the Slack. But that was Paulie, sorry.
No, I had said Mason Maguire after Harry Maguire just hit that belter from outside the box in the 76th minute. I was like, oh, look at you.
Yeah, I tweeted out Messi Greenwood. I don't think that's probably not a totally accurate comparison to their play styles, but he's definitely discovering his zone. And Ollie's rewarding him with playing time, which is great to see. And it's even better, obviously, when we win games and he scores goals. I do wonder if maybe we brought in someone else, how that would interfere with it. I would worry a little bit. But, you know, we need the depth at this point. And having that sort of talent in rotation is never a bad thing for a team.
Well, and I think that... We get hung up on Ollie's tactics, but I think that's his real strength as a manager, is being able to manage those personalities. And I think that would come in handy. We are still in, you know, three competitions, FA Cup's getting ready to start up as well. So at the end of the day, at some point you've got to, you know, get outside of your feelings, and you need to understand that you can't literally play every single game. It's just not practical, not across four competitions. And so bringing in those extra attacking talents, I think, will just benefit everybody. Because the last thing you want is Greenwood playing at 70%, Rashford getting hurt again. I mean, bringing in somebody else is going to help with that. And then let Ollie manage the personalities, because he clearly gets along with Rashford and Greenwood and Martial and Dan James and all these guys, and he makes them feel, you know, like they are part of a team and they're not being ostracized from that team like Mourinho would. And so I think he has the ability to bring in those extra personalities and make it gel. Obviously there'll be some frustrations. Someone's going to lose out on some playing time, but I don't necessarily think it becomes an issue when you've got three and four tournaments happening. I mean, at the end of the day, someone's got to sit down and just chill out for a little bit.
Yeah, I think especially Marcus Rashford, we were starting to see some of the wear and tear on him having to carry the load while Anthony Martial and Paul Pogba were both injured in terms of creativity and goal scoring for the team. One thing today that I saw from Ollie that he hasn't been particularly good about in the past has been the game management in terms of substitutions. A lot of that really fell his way because we got those three goals to end the half and just took control of the game after that. But I thought getting Pogba some more playing time, but not playing the full 90, getting Rashford and Martial off with another game against Burnley coming up at the weekend, and then bringing on players like Lingard, who needs more confidence and needs more, you know, opportunities to salvage something. It seems like he's kind of getting more of a grip of the game management side of managing rather than just the player management.
Yeah, and I think that was huge when you see the likes of Martial and the likes of Rashford coming off in the, I believe it was in the mid-60s of the minutes-wise, 60, trying to...
Yeah, it was something like that.
Yeah, because we've seen him regularly wait until past the 80th minute to make substitutions, which is not practical, especially when you've got a game 2 days, you know, from now, especially with the minutes that Rashford and Martial are playing already now, and that's where that depth comes in. Imagine we're pulling off Rashford and Martial, hey, you guys have both contributed goals, you know, thanks, we need you for the weekend, you know, take a breather. But, oh, yeah, we've got, you know, Erling Haaland, we've got Kai Havertz, we've got somebody else coming in instead of Juan Mata and Jesse Lingard. No offense to them, but, I mean, those positions can be upgraded. And so that's one of those situations where as we, you know, just careen towards a January window, we're not far off from that starting up. I mean, that's going to be a really big deal, is who are going to be the players that we still offload, because we got to get rid of Modric and any of the other deadwood, but we got to bring in some other guys because there are going to be injuries that come in February and March. It's inevitable. So who's going to be the person to replace him? You know, are we going to be satisfied with Andreas Pereira taking the position of Scott McTominay, who has now been reported as injured, or are we going to put in a better midfielder than that?
Yeah, the Scott McTominay injury being reported as a ligament injury, and Ale saying he's probably not going to play Saturday, and Brent kind of comedically pointing out that, yeah, do you know what a ligament injury is, Ale? That's especially after the scare that he had with his ankle ligaments earlier in the year. It's a pretty scary situation with Scott McTominay out potentially for a while.
Yeah, I mean, if depending on the severity of the ligament injury, it's going to be the rest of the season, more than likely, which is, I shudder to think what that does to the team chemistry. He finally had built a rather functional partnership with Fred. I'm not going to say it was world-beating, but functional seems like an appropriate word. I mean, they were getting the job done and the double pivot, and now all of a sudden we're going to shake up that chemistry again. Granted, if he's going to stay, we're going to be replacing at least McTominay with Pogba for the time being, which is definitely an upgrade. But at the end of the day, again, that depth question comes up. And there's no better depth guy than Scott McTominay. I mean, he's that whatever stereotype you want to use from American sports, he is just a gritty dude who gets after it. You know, it's like the white wide receiver stereotypes that you always hear, you know, if first one in, last one out of the gym, you know, gym rat, student of the game, the whole thing. Like Scott McTominay is just that guy who hustles, and you need that both for visibility and what's happening on the pitch. I mean, it's important that he's out there working and people are seeing it, and I think it motivates him, and his impact on the game is important too. I mean, he set up a goal today because he sat there and he crashed in. Despite being on a yellow card, he still made an excellent tackle. And then who came in and got the ball? It was Fred, who laid the ball off to Pereira, who laid the ball off to Wan-Bissaka, and all of a sudden we've got a goal. So it's one of those things where having that cohesion in the midfield is something that we've missed all season, and we need to do whatever we can to make sure that we've got strong players in those positions and that we, you know, can maintain some level of continuity. So, there's probably some people on Twitter who aren't sweating it, but I think you should be. Scott McTominay being out is going to be a big problem.
Yeah, it's safe to say that we could do better in midfield than Scott McTominay if we had a blank check and could buy from any team in the world. But in terms of his growth from when Jose Mourinho was in charge a year ago to now, I think Scott McTominay has become, you know, one of our most reliable players. It's fair to say, I think. He's won three or four Player of the Month awards. He's formed that pretty good partnership with Fred. And just his vision for the game has developed to the level that, I mean, like you said today, he's a crucial part of the buildup in our midfield. And we don't have a whole lot of other players who can do that. I will say I've been super critical of Andres Pereira, but I thought he played okay today. So maybe he could turn into something at the number 10. But really, I think this should convince Ed Woodward to take some action in January, I think.
Yeah, I would never wish injury on anybody, especially not a guy like Scott McTominay, because I really have a lot of respect for him. But the timing of it is in a weird way beneficial, because I think, you know, you got to look at the depth chart now and you're thinking, like, who the heck is going to replace Scott McTominay? For as much as he said, play the kids. That's been one position that Ali hasn't really jumped at, you know, trying to play a Jimmy Garner. And it makes you wonder if we are going to start seeing him pretty soon. But it was a little bit of a joke for the last couple of years, you know, Scott McTominay being our most important player and Jose Mourinho really lauding that. Mm-hmm. But this year would be the first. It would not be sarcastic if you said Scott McTominay was our player of the year.
Yeah, he was definitely a candidate for the Matt Busby Player of the Year award up until this point.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I believe it was Vince Yan, who wrote a great piece earlier in the fall saying that Scott McTominay is potentially captain material later on. And what's important about that, and because I've joked about this in another piece that I wrote, you know, the captaincy, it's become a sham that we offer the captaincy as a way of trying to keep a player at United. You know, Pogba and De Gea both have, you know, been offered the captaincy as a way of appeasement, which I think is a really poor way to go about it. You know, a captainship should be earned, and Scott McTominay is the kind of guy who actually has gone out and earned it. He's a vocal leader, and, you know, he proves it out on the field, too, just by playing.
Yeah. Of course, the question, though, is whether I would actually do anything in January to bring in a replacement. I think it's probably more than likely that we're going to be relying on Nemanja Matic for the time being. Although, I think it's worth pointing out last year that Solskjaer made it clear Fellaini wasn't part of his plans, and, you know, off he went. So, something could happen in January, but I just don't know if I see anything happening.
Yeah, I think United probably needs to go outside the Premier League to find somebody in January to provide those reinforcements. I don't know that the Premier League's the way to go, especially since you're paying an in-league tax at this point. I think there's been a lot of guys that are comparable in talent, but if they're coming from a Premier League team, they're like £20 million more expensive, and I think that United needs to get away from that. I talked about that with our transfer targets. We shouldn't look, you know, we shouldn't get in the whole evaluation that West Ham United, for instance, has for Declan Rice is just, I think it's ludicrous. Mm-hmm. I mean, they want the amount of money that we paid for Paul Pogba for Declan Rice, which, you know, is a sentence that should make you like throw up in your mouth. Like, it's not to say that Declan Rice is a poor player by any stretch of the imagination, but he's not ever going to change a game like Paul Pogba does. And so I don't know that he fetches that kind of fee. So who's going to be that Declan Rice? Maybe, I don't know, in the Bundesliga or La Liga or Serie A, who is that person that we can identify that we can bring in for 30, 40 million pounds, and all of a sudden that's a more palatable price. There's less pressure on them, and, you know, they don't have that price on them that also suggests that they have to play every single game. So that way when McTominay comes back, you know, there could be a true competition for that position.
Yep. And I think it's fair to say at this point that Ollie's looking for younger guys too. So I know we've been linked with Christian Eriksen quite a few times, and maybe we made an offer in August, but I think if Eriksen was actually interested in coming to United, it would have happened in August. Tottenham are pretty clearly not, or they're aware that he is not going to sign a new contract, but I don't think Eriksen wants to come to a team like us right now. And also, I don't think he would fill the hole that Scott McTominay would potentially leave out, because he would want to play in a more attacking position anyway.
Yeah, that's kind of been our issue, is we don't have somebody that can play in that holding role. We've got a couple guys that you can, in a moment's notice, play more advanced. Maybe it is a number 10 position, like we've got a couple different guys that changed up the pace. You know, you can play Juan Mata at the 10. He brings a different style than what maybe Jesse Lingard plays at the 10 versus what Andreas Pereira plays at the 10. And, I mean, just looking at it, I don't know that you would play Eriksen anywhere else than either out on the wing or at the 10. I just don't know that his motor is what you want to see in, you know, an 8 and definitely not in a 6. Mm-hmm. So is Eriksen going to take game time from Paul Pogba if Paul Pogba's healthy? Because I don't think that happens either. So I think it would create a weirdly disjointed midfield, or Ollie would have to completely change up the way he wants to play to incorporate Eriksen on a game-by-game, like, you know, over the course of the rest of the season.
Yeah, maybe it's time for some Leicester City money ball. Statistical analysis of interception rates and balls played forward in the French third division.
I mean, honestly, whatever they've been doing, they got to switch it up. I mean, there's a lot of good players out there, and there's a lot of players that, you know, United used to be kings of getting guys that nobody else knew about. Like, let's get that going again. It's one of the reasons why United's been so successful. So there's you know, probably somebody sitting on the 11th best team in the Bundesliga or the 7th best team in La Liga that's gettable and could make a huge impact on the team.
Yeah. All right, so looking ahead to the weekend with Burnley at the Turf Moor, I think they lost to Everton today, is that correct?
They did. Dominic Calvert-Lewin scored in the 80th minute to give Carlo Ancelotti his first win, which is so weird. So weird.
I was talking with my friend about that. That move, it makes so little sense to me that for both Everton and for Carlo Ancelotti, that it, I don't know. It's just mind-boggling.
Yeah, my buddy who's an Everton fan is like, it just doesn't make any sense. Look at every team that Carlo Ancelotti's taken over. It's been like a big club with big players. You know, not to sit here and poo-poo on Everton or anything, but like Napoli to Everton is a really weird – I don't know that that's a parallel move. I think that's a downward move. And so it just – it seems really out of character for them. And they – I think it was Total Soccer Show. Taylor and Ryan Bailey were sitting there joking when Everton and Arsenal played in what was dubbed probably the most boring game of the season so far, the 0-0 draw. Neither coach was managing yet, but you had Mikel Arteta and Carlo Ancelotti both sitting in the stands, and the question was asked, which manager would you rather be in that situation watching that Arsenal team and that Everton team? So it's just two more weird instances in what's been just a really weird Premier League season at this point.
Yeah. So this Burnley side that Everton managed to finally break down, they're almost certainly going to sit back and play the the deep block or whatever?
The low block?
Yeah, the low block. That's the word Pauly hates.
Yeah, it's the Pauly trigger right there.
Yeah, so Sean Dyche team, very physical. They're going to rely on their defense. And this is a Burnley team that has given people trouble in the past, but they're definitely not, you know, I don't want to say what they used to be, because they're still, you know, Burnley, but they're not as maybe formidable as they had been in the past. Although they are sitting even with Arsenal right now in the Premier League table, so there's that.
Yeah, they're not in as good a form as, say, when they finished seventh a couple years ago, but there's just something about they really feed off of playing in turf more. And I think ever since Stoke left the league, Burnley has been that bogey team for us, you know. Even when we were finishing second a couple of years ago, it was one of those things, and that team was really good, that United team. Like, you just knew when they were going to Stoke, it was going to be rainy, it was going to be crappy, and the best result we were going to get was a draw. Like, I'd have been stoked if we got a 1-1 draw. The last thing you want to do is lose 1-0, and Burnley's kind of been that team for us in recent years. It, for whatever reason, just cannot break down Sean Dyche's defense, and they've really been a bogey team for us. They have a couple capable goal scorers. I mean, the last thing you want to do is leave Ashley Barnes one-on-one, because he can punish you. So it's just a matter of...
That's exactly what happened to us last year at Old Trafford, if I remember correctly. It was Ashley Barnes getting him 2-0 up.
Yeah.
That was the first real test for Ole as interim manager, but, I mean, the way that our defense is playing right now, it wouldn't be surprising if they went 2-0 up again, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, it's going to be a 4-4-2, and you're going to be running up against eight men in the box. They are really good at shutting down passing lanes. They're not going to let you just cut. You're never going to find a pass that's going to, you know, thread through two center backs against Burnley and have an open runner. It's all about, you're going to have to pass your way, you know, into creating space. It's never going to be just that simple, you know, single pass where you do it like six times around the box and then finally find that one threading pass. It's going to be really creative. This is going to be, I think this is why Paul Pogba didn't start, because Ollie wants him for a full 90 against Burnley, because he knows he has to have a guy with Paul Pogba's creativity to go up against Burnley. It almost makes you wonder if at some point we will see Pogba and Mata on the field against Burnley, just to have two really, really veteran, you know, sensible passers, guys that can play people open.
And set piece guys too, which will probably come in handy against a team as defensive as them.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just going to be an ugly game. Like, if you're expecting really beautiful attacking interplay, like maybe some of the sequences that we had today, it's just not happening. Burnley doesn't get stretched out, at least not by Manchester United. I mean, for whatever reason, they just completely shut us down, and then they'll get blasted 5-0 by like a Man City. But, you know, we just don't have that kind of play right now. So it's going to be ugly.
Yeah, I do think that today's result is potentially promising for that, though, because Newcastle seemed like they were maybe trying a sort of similar thing. They're not as good at it as Burnley are, probably, but they definitely spent more time in their half of the field than they did in ours, and they were relying really heavily on the counterattack to try and hit us for anything.
Yeah, and one what's was, you know, at least exciting about today was that Newcastle game when we lost at St. James's Park. I mean, they were really well organized, and that was the problem. They did a good job of stifling. You know, Brucey's got his team pretty well drilled, and they just took their opportunity, and that's how they were able to win. And it really is the Burnley playbook. They do a good job of just kind of shutting teams out. You know, if they're giving up a goal, it's only to at least, I guess, maybe talent that would be equal to us, considering we just, you know, tied with Everton. We'll say that they're equal competition, and Everton were able to beat them 1-0 after scoring in the 80th minute. Last week, they barely beat Bournemouth 1-0. They beat Newcastle 1-0, but then earlier in the month, Tottenham drilled them 5-0. Man City drilled them 4-1. So they've kind of had a roller coaster season. And of course, like last month, they had a 3-0 over Watford and a 3-0 over West Ham. So who knows what Burnley team we're even going to face.
Yeah, it's a weird one to predict. I think I'm going to go with maybe a 1-1 draw. If we do score, I feel like it'll have to be the spectacular. I think that's how it was a couple of years ago. I remember a really awful game at the Turf Moor where Anthony Martial scored in like the 80th minute. It was just a perfectly curled shot from outside the area into the top corner. And that was the only memorable moment of the match. I think that may have been our only shot on target in that match.
Yeah, didn't we have another game? It might have been last season. Didn't Lindelof earner? It was a Luke Shaw that scored to equalize against Burnley.
Yeah, last year it was Lindelof in like the last minute of the game. We were down.
Yeah, 2-0, it was Lindelof's first goal back for United. There's gonna be a lot of shithousery, and it's just gonna be ugly. And you hate to say smash and grab against a team that, you know, is lower than you on the Premier League table, but to a certain degree, like, that's what it's gotta be. It's either going to be a 1-0 win United, or it's going to be a 1-1 draw.
Bag an early goal and then, you know, just play it out. If you can make more, fine. But if not, just stay organized and keep the ball.
Yeah, what's critical is getting that first goal, because the last thing you want to do is let Burnley go at 1-0 on you, because they're really going to pack it in. But I'm not going to come out and say it like with my chest like I did last time, because I said 3-0 against Everton, and look what that was. So I'm clearly not good at this prediction game.
Yeah, that's fair. All right. Nathan, thanks for joining me today. And listeners, be sure to check out the work we have coming out on the BusbyBabe.com. We've got more, I think, Best Player of the Decade, Manchester United Game of the Decade, and I think one more after that. And if you haven't already, check out our Team of the Decade. And Nathan, you got any pieces coming out soon?
I should be. To appease Brent, I had come out with the Twas the Night Before Christmas.
Oh yeah.
Piece that I'd written almost in a moment of delirium, because I had already worked like 13 hours at my other job that day, and I just sat down and didn't have the energy to like play FIFA, so I just sat there with my laptop. It's like, what if I adapted this poem? So if you're still in the Christmas spirit, you can read that. "Twas the Night Before Christmas in Manchester." That's on the busbybabe.com. I butchered that famous poem. And I gotta think, I believe I'm writing the match report for Saturday against Burnley. And then other than that, I've got to start working on features. It'll probably be transfer related, I'm sure, as we get really close to January. I know that's on my mind. That's on everybody else's mind. Mm-hmm. What I'm most curious is finding out, you know, who might be those midfielders that we can get from other leagues. So that'll probably be what I pitch to Brent. But until then, there's a really crappy poem I adapted that you can check out. And of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Nathan is Red for all kinds of really bad hot takes on Manchester United. And also, no free plugs, but go see the movie Uncut Gems.
I've heard it's great. I've been trying to see that and Knives Out.
Oh, Knives Out is wonderful, Colin. If we want to do a separate movie podcast, we can do that. I've been playing catch up because I've actually had a couple days off. But yeah, Uncut Gems is wonderful.
What's your 10-second Rise of Skywalker review?
Don't let Reddit make your Star Wars movies anymore.
Fair enough. All right. Thanks for joining me, Nathan.
Always a pleasure, Colin.